I love a sunburnt country, a land of sweeping plains, of ragged mountain ranges, of droughts and flooding rains. I love her far horizons, I love her jewel sea, her beauty and her terror, the wide brown land for me. That was a popular stanza excerpted from My Country, one of the best-known works of poetry in Australia by Dorothea McKellar, which perfectly captures the natural beauty and the heart and spirit of Australia. Awe-inspiring, surreal, breathtaking. These are words that are used to describe the Australian land and its coastline. The Great Barrier Reef, located in the Coral Sea off the northeast coastline, is the largest natural feature on Earth, stretching more than 2,300 kilometres. The Australian outback, with its spectacular scenery and primal mythology, has long been revered as one of the most beautiful places on Earth. Heading further inland to Australia's red centre, Eyre's Rock, or Uluru, a giant sandstone monolith, is a spectacular sight which changes colour according to the position of the sun. The massive rock domes date back 500 million years and are rich in indigenous artwork and lore. Australians have a warm, light-hearted and generous nature. Anywhere you go, you'll be greeted with a friendly, "G'day, mate." It's comforting to know that you have 20 million friends who will always be there if needed. And now, please join us on Words of Wisdom today for an insightful lecture entitled Seek You First, the Kingdom of God, delivered by Supreme Master Ching Hai in Sydney, Australia, on March 17, 1993.
Supreme Master Ching Hai's lectures are not a complete meditation instruction. Please do not try alone. For free of charge guidance, please visit www.godsdirectcontact.org or contact any of our centres near you.
Why do people call you Master?
Why not? There's so many masters. Master degree in science, master of smith, master of jewelry, master of machinery, any kind of master. If I'm teaching them something and that has the effect for them, it makes their life better, smoother, more beautiful, more blessed, more blissful, more happy, and more joy, and more wise, why shouldn't they call me master? But it doesn't matter to me, you can call me brother, sister. Yeah, some people call me small sister, some people call me little high, a high, yeah. They call me many names, some people call me mommy, mama. Yeah, they call me many things. I don't mind.
What is the difference between you and I?
Not that I know of. The only difference is that perhaps you have denied yourself of the greatest privilege that our Father has endowed upon us both. You have denied. That's the only difference.
Does the karma of a person influence the enlightenment process? That is, when initiated by yourself, Master?
Yes, it does to some degree. It does to some degree. But the past karma, which lies in the store of the subconsciousness, we can use the master power to erase it so that no trace for it to the future, rebirth. But the present bad karma we have to undergo, otherwise we die immediately after initiation. If we have no more take and give in this world, we can't exist. Therefore, the present karma means what is already written in this life that we have to undergo, we should undergo. But due to the grace of the supreme power that is within us, after awakening, we will have it smoothly or minimized or have it undergone in dream only. For example, you're supposed to be stabbed by someone, wounded heavily, but after initiation, you dream about it only, and then you don't have it in life. But when you woke up, probably the wounded place is still hurt. If you forgot it, then you don't know why. But the bad karma will be gone. Something like that. But bad karma, we must pay in some form or another. Or maybe the master sometime take it, some part of it for you, or completely. Depends on whether you can bear it or not. So that's why Jesus had to sacrifice, because the sins of many of his disciples and the person that he cured and those person that killed him, he even forgave them. Therefore, he has to undergo suffering. Many masters do that, still do. Not under the form of crucifixion, but in different form, mental anguish, bodily discomfort, slandering, or demanding of all kind of sacrifice from the disciples or from the world at large. Or, for example, it doesn't matter how much the master sacrificed, the people keep demanding more and more and keep being kind of tormenting the master. It is also a kind of crucifixion, anyhow, but it doesn't appear on the cross. It appears in daily life or in the mission of the master. You do not know this until you become one.
Can one take the first initiation, eating meat, then take the second initiation if one feels a higher pull?
I would give you the second initiation instead and forego the first. Wait until you're ready and come. Okay? Why force yourself? Why force yourself? If meat is better than God, then you better wait, huh? It's all right. God give us all the free will. Don't worry about that. God doesn't get angry or doesn't push us. We choose what we want to do, but do it wholeheartedly if we want to succeed. You can't just tell the girl and say, oh, honey, I love you very much. Should we just pretend to get married first, but I will have a couple of affairs, and then later when I'm settled down, we marry again. Is that okay? In life, we can't do that. Never mind making a deal with God. I think we're too clever for God. That's why he shake his head and sit up there. I don't want to come down.
Some of the diseases related to meat consumption and or production: swine flu, Ebola Reston virus. Cured meats and fish increase leukemia risk in children. Antibiotic-resistant superbug infections from a strain of Staphylococcus aureus. Blue tongue disease, E. coli, Salmonella, bird flu, mad cow disease, or Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease, 90% of the population at risk. Pig's disease, or PMWS, listeriosis, shellfish poisoning, pre-eclampsia, Campylobacter, Clostridium difficile, diseases hidden in healthy appearing livestock. Some of the costs of meat eating. Infertility. Eating just one serving of meat per day increases the risk of women's infertility by 32%, with additional meat consumption increasing the risk. Heart disease. Over 17 million lives lost globally each year. Cost of cardiovascular disease is at least $1 trillion a year. Cancer. Colon rectal cancer. Over 1 million new colon cancer patients diagnosed each year. More than 600,000 colon cancer related mortalities annually. In the United States alone, colon cancer treatment costs about $6.5 billion. Millions of people are newly diagnosed with other meat related cancers every year. Diabetes. 246 million people are affected worldwide. An estimated $174 billion spent each year on treatment in just the United States. Obesity. Worldwide, 1.6 billion adults are overweight, with 400 million more who are obese. Costs $93 billion each year for medical expenses in the United States alone. At least 2.6 million people die annually from problems related to being overweight or obese. Environmental. Use up to 70% of clean water. Pollute most of the water bodies. Deforest the lungs of the earth. Uses up to 43% of the world's cereal. Uses up to 85% of the world's soy. Cause world hunger and wars. 80% cause of global warming. Plus more.
Some of the costs of milk consumption. Bacterial microbes, pesticides and enzymes found in cheese derived from the inner stomach linings of other animals. Up to 80% of the calories in cheese are from pure fat. Breast, prostate and testicular cancer from hormones present in milk. Listeria and Crohn's disease. Hormones and saturated fat leads to osteoporosis, obesity, diabetes and heart disease. Linked to higher incidences of multiple sclerosis. Classified as a major allergen. Lactose intolerance. Plus more.
For more urgent information, please visit www.suprememastertv.com/killers.
Can you tell us the practice that the disciples have to do after they receive your initiation?
They carry on with the meditation which has been instructed to them. And they carry on with their ethical conduct and the vegetarian diet. They meditate as much as they can. They keep the precepts and not deliberately violate the law, that sort of nature.
Some of the benefits of a vegetarian diet: lowers blood pressure, lowers cholesterol levels, reduces type 2 diabetes, prevents stroke conditions, reverses atherosclerosis, reduces heart disease risk 50%, reduces heart surgery risk 80%, prevents many forms of cancer. Stronger immune system, increases life expectancy up to 15 years. Higher IQ, saves 70% of a total cost of $40 trillion for reducing global warming. Uses 4.5 times less land to grow food. Conserves up to 70% clean water. Saves 80% of the cleared Amazonian rainforest from animal grazing. A solution for world hunger. Free up 3.4 billion hectares of land. Free up 760 million tons of grain every year, or half the world's grain supply. Consumes one-third fossil fuels of those used for meat production. Reduces pollution from untreated animal waste. Maintains cleaner air. Saves 4.5 tons of emissions per U.S. household per year. Stop 80% of global warming. Plus more. Save your life. Be veg. Go green.
And whenever they have problem, obstacle in their meditation, they will write to me or call inside for help. Yeah, that's what they do. And they carry on with their daily work, just as before, just maybe more lovingly, more aware of their responsibility in this world, and more effectively, since they have more intelligence and more original power from within, not from the computer brain.
How can you tell the difference between a frail soul and a bad soul?
You mean someone who not deliberately want to do bad things and just give in to temptation and that. Well, they are weak. It's not the soul, it's the mind. The mind that is weak. And if they have also a weak and tempting association with them, then of course their frailty grow greater each day. But if they associate with stronger character who is more noble in bearing and manner and thinking, then they will get stronger. And there is no such thing as bad soul. All souls are good from God. Only the bad minds. The mind, the computer, the brain, registered many things, bad or good. And he put it out accordingly each day. Now, if a person is associated often with a very so-called rough background, then he get acquainted with this kind of habit, and his brain registered only these kind of so-called bad actions. And therefore later, in similar circumstance, are they registered too much, and we give out daily the same information. Therefore we call that person bad. Actually, we should call he has a bad habit. It's not bad soul. Our habits, good or bad, depends on whom we are associated with. In India, people very much praise and hope for the association with the great practitioner whom has peace of mind and who radiates invisible energy, who heals anyone who comes to him or to her. This is what we call satsanga, means the association with those who know the truth, who turn toward the truth, and who understand completely the truth. They even go to the extent as to say that if such a person who are always in tune with the truth, with God, with the Supreme Power within, they just look at you once and your life changed. So the association is very important. There's no such thing as bad soul or good soul.
Why do some people never experience God even after so many sacrifices?
Because they go the hard way. God has prescribed a way for us to get in touch with Him, and we deny it. We show this to you. The way we show to you, that's the way to get contact with God. There are probably other ways. Then go and find them. If you don't feel appealed to this way, then try to find another way. Whichever way you find, if that gives you the light of heaven and the sound of God, that's correct way. Because these are the signal from heaven. These are the manifestation of our wisdom inside, which can lead us back home.
How does one overcome fear in daily lives?
If we don't know God, it's difficult to overcome many things, not only fear. I was very shy before. You don't know me. I hardly had any friends. I don't speak much. And I'm often alone, even now. If I'm not come out speaking to you, or if nobody requests me to come out see them, I'm always in my room, or in my tent, or wherever I am. I'm not coming out or go out to play or disco or shopping. I don't do anything like that. I'm very shy. And if after seeing people in the airport, if they don't give me a quick exit, I will grow very moody because I'm very shy to see people over a long period. I like to disappear as quick as possible. But then, even before, I can't imagine talking to a large audience like that. I never talk. I don't know how to talk. But God made me like this. God made you overcome fear, nothing else. So accept. We turn back again to our birthright, to our birth duty, to find God, to bless this earth. We can't hardly overcome anything.
Can you please explain Manjushri's sword and its application to everyday life?
Manjushri's word is the supreme wisdom. It's the sword of wisdom which is prescribed in the Buddhist Sutra. Yeah, it means when you have wisdom, you cut through all attachments and entanglements and obstacles in this world. So it is likened to a sword which cuts everything. It doesn't actually have a sword, just a wisdom which cuts through all things. So we are not bound in this world anymore. It's just a parable. Manjushri is a Sanskrit term which denotes a bodhisattva in Shakyamuni Buddha's time. He was one of his greatest disciples. And his name is Manjushri. And he's supposed to have a sword to cut through all obstacles and everything. That's called the sword of wisdom. Okay?
If one is a practicing tantric worshipper of the goddess, working with the senses, how would this path affect this practice?
It doesn't affect it, but I think you have been graduated, huh? You work with the senses, and now is the time to work with the soul. If you wish to go higher, then you just practice this path.
How many gods are in this world?
Trillions of gods. Look at you. All of you are gods. Just you don't know it.
There are four principal points in Buddhism. First, suffering. Second, the origins of suffering. Third, release from suffering. Fourth, to approach salvation or enlightenment. Later on, Sakyamuni Buddha found the only thing to gain absolute emancipation is to suppress the ego, self-denial, because the self is the origin of suffering. In Buddhism, why is it necessary to suppress one's ego when it is so crucial on most levels for survival and self-respect in a practical sense?
Actually, the Buddha did not mean that we have to humble ourselves in the society or cut down our success just because we want to suppress the ego. Actually, to suppress the ego is not by mental practice, not by observation, not by doing anything. It's just by getting in touch with the kingdom of God. Get to know the higher ego, the higher one. If you know something better, then of course you automatically, the lesser one, you will not rely on. Suppressing the ego doesn't mean we have to go through a vigorous asceticism or do anything about it, or have to wear very dirty clothes in order to show our holiness inside, or to make people think that we are having no ego. To have no ego means you already merge within the God kingdom. You do without doing anymore. You heal without healing. And you do things according to God's will and never claim credit. But still, in the social life, we keep the same position. We do the same work, perhaps, if that's God's will. If should God will us to forsake our duty or job then and do other things for Him, then we would do it. At that time, we truly suppress the ego, but without losing self-respect or the position in the society and also the respect from other people. We would just absolutely surrender. And we do many things without even knowing, without claiming any credit for it, because at that time we know everything is God doing. It's the supreme power of the universe, which we are part of it, that does things. That is a true suppression of ego.
What happens to a person after they die and are waiting to be reborn?
I think we better take care of the living. If your deeds are truly pure, your mental is absolutely noble, your action is high quality and beneficial to the world, your wisdom is clear, then of course after you die, you know where you go. And you know right now even. Just sit and, or don't sit and we know heaven. We know where we will be after death. By the way, the initiate people will be informed 3 days at least in advance before his death. So he will know where he go and to prepare his worldly obligation before he left the world. At that time, probably you will inform me where you go or what happened to you. Otherwise, I don't know now. Heaven has not told me that I'm going to die 3 days yet, so I don't know. Okay, we better take care of the living. take care of ourselves while we live, and then we know how we die. It's no need for me to answer because each one is different. The individual death is different, the individual way is different. Look at your present and know what awaits for you in the future. If your life now virtuous, clean, sympathetic to all, and respecting to the higher spiritual value, then you surely go to heaven, and nothing happens to you after death. You immediately go to heaven, okay? And if otherwise, opposite-wise, then maybe the angel of death already has your name in his waiting list. Somewhere else below or somewhere a little bit not very bright, yeah.
Is it true that when a person gains enlightenment, the person's family in 6 generations benefit? Can you please explain further?
5 or 6 generations is just the same. It could be more than that. More than that. And even friends and those we loved and sympathized with, we get benefit as well. And get liberation or merit accordingly.
I am a Christian. I have Jesus' photo in my room. May I put your photo next to it?
If you wish. I don't think Jesus will be very jealous about it. I think he will be okay, yeah?
I am already baptized. May I receive initiation from you?
Oh, sure. With honor. Why not?
Is there any value in suffering?
Yes, great value. So that we learn to go upward and we don't sink to suffering again. Sometimes, if God bless us so much, we do not appreciate it. And we do not think of God and do not remember to go back to the kingdom. And when suffering comes, mostly people will pray. I remember God. So last time when I say adieu to the Melbourne fellow practitioners, I say, remember me at least when you're in trouble.
If there are the connection between spiritual life and physical life, then what method do we need to follow to get the result within our limited life?
Right, correct. That's a good question. We don't use any physical means at all. That's why when we give initiation, we don't speak even. We might give some instruction before, like how do you sit so that you're comfortable, and where should you pay your attention, how to collect your attention, that's all. But when we transmit, it truly help you to remind you how to awaken yourself, we don't speak at all. Both of the so-called teacher and the so-called students were in silence. But in silence, we receive the Tao. We don't use any physical mean at all, nothing of the physical. Because from the physical, we can't attain the non-physical. From the ephemeral, we can't attain the eternal. That's why other method, with concern with physical body, it's not very everlasting.
What is initiation?
You tell them, please. You know it.
As we mentioned before, Master arrived. Master is a guide, someone who has been there, who is offering to take us to a certain place, level, whatever you like to call it. The conditions for initiation you can see outside at the initiation desk. That's the 5 precepts. Not to kill, not to tell a lie, no sexual misconduct, not to steal, and not to take things which are unhealthy or things which are detrimental to the body. And not to kill also includes, of course, a vegetarian diet. The other condition for initiation is to meditate 2.5 hours a day.
That can be divided, yeah.
Yeah, which does not mean necessarily has to be 2.5 hours at one go. It can be an hour in the morning, half an hour at lunch, an hour at night, as it is convenient for you.
This is on the physical level only. it's the time has come that you realize that you're greater than the body and you would like to know more about your own great self, that you truly would like to fulfill our human duties on earth as God prescribed it. That is the inner awakening. It's not only the physical fulfilling of these precepts and that and this and other. It is truly the time that yourself awaken wanting to know more about yourself. That is true initiation. With sincerity, we want to know the kingdom of God.
One of the precepts for initiation is to avoid sexual misconduct. What do you define as sexual misconduct?
Well, it's just like you already having one wife and you're not satisfied. And probably would like to share the neighbors. Without permission, yes. It's all right with permission, I don't mind.
If good people go to heaven and bad people go to hell, where does that leave the not so bad nor good people?
Probably the in between, huh? Or maybe they go to hell a little bit and go heaven a little bit, huh? Have fun in both sides. They stay in between, they go back to the human life. Because they don't belong to heaven and do not belong to hell, so they belong to the human standard. They go back and relearn the lesson that they have not learned while they are in the human form.
Supreme Master Ching Hai's lectures are not a complete meditation instruction. Please do not try alone. For free of charge guidance, please visit www.godsdirectcontact.org or contact any of our centers near you.
Thank you for joining us on today's Words of Wisdom. A journey through aesthetic realms is coming up next on Supreme Master Television. Please stay tuned. May you and your loved ones be immersed in heaven's loving grace.
For more details, please visit www.suprememastertv.com/WOW.